Summer in Tucson is seriously hot, and it was 107 degrees as Gary sat out on the patio of the house Hawkins used to rent and read that letter addressed to Jillian Owens. The creosote plant that grew beside the patio was all but popping with the heat, yet Gary just sat there and read the letter Sally had written to her sister, and when he was done, he read it again. As the afternoon heat finally began to ease up, Gary took off his hat and dropped his boots down from the metal railing. He's a man who's willing to take chances, but he has the courage to walk away from impossible odds. He knows when to back off and when to keep trying, but he'd never felt like this before. Sitting out on that patio in the purple dusk, he was long past considering the odds. Until Sonny died, Gary had always shared a house with his grandfather, except for his brief marriage and the first 8 years with his parents, which he doesn't remember out of sheer willpower. But he remembers everything about his grandfather. He knew what time Sonny would get out of bed in the morning and when he'd go to sleep and what he'd eat for breakfast, which was invariably shredded wheat on weekdays and on Sundays pancakes spread with molasses and jam. Gary has been close to people, and has a whole town full of friends, but he'd never once felt he'd known anyone the way he felt he knew the woman who wrote this letter. It was as if someone had ripped off the top of his head and hooked a piece of his soul. He was so involved with the words she'd written that anyone passing by could have pushed him off his chair with one finger. A turkey vulture could have landed on the back rung of the chair he was sitting in, screamed right in his ear, and Gary wouldn't have heard a sound. He went home then and packed his bag. He called to tell his buddy Arno at the AG's office that he had found a great lead and was going after Hawkins's girlfriend. But of course that wasn't the whole truth. Hawkins's girlfriend wasn't the one he was thinking about when he asked his closest neighbor's 12-year-old boy to hike by each morning and set out some food and water for the dogs, then took his horses over to the Mitchells' ranch, where they'd be turned out with a bunch of Arabians much prettier than themselves, and maybe learn a lesson or two. Gary was at the airport that evening. He caught the 717 to Chicago, and he spent the night with his long legs folded up on a bench at O'Hare, where he had to change planes. He read Sally's letter twice more in midair, and then again while he ate eggs and sausage for lunch in a diner in Elmhurst, Queens. Even when he folds it back into its envelope and places it deep inside the pocket of his jacket, the letter keeps coming back to him. Whole sentences Sally has written form inside his head, and for some reason he's filled with the strangest sense of acceptance, not for anything he's done, but for what he might be about to do.